Welcome to Rad Life, where resilience, authenticity, and daring come together to ignite your spark and ignite your success. I'm your host, Mackenzie Rose, and here we explore how to unlock your inner fire, embrace your purpose, and lead a life of well-being and impact. Whether you're a visionary, entrepreneur, or leader, this is your space to learn, grow, and step into your full power. Let's dive deep into the tools, strategies, and stories that will fuel your journey and help you create your own rad life. Ready to unleash your firepower? Let's get started. Hello, hello from India. Oh my God, I can't believe I'm here. So today is December 1st, and I have decided that I'm going to release a podcast every day for the next 31 days. I just turned 31, and I figured it's just, I want to get back into momentum, and there's certain things that kind of block me from putting the stuff out. And it's usually around like the editing piece or time management or things like that. And so I just want to put out 31 pieces of imperfect podcast content. And then through that process, see, like learn what are the things that are the slowest for me? What do I need help on? What can I outsource? What makes the process easier? All of that. So today's just going to be a quickie, a few different things. Firstly, it's the beginning of the month, and it's the last first of the month in the year of 2024, which is cool and exciting and many good things. I am starting my 31st year in the beginning of December in a new country and somewhere that I've wanted to go for a long time, and especially about 2 years ago, actually more than 2 years ago, I just started feeling this calling, this impulse of needing to go to India. And here I am. Today is my second full day. It was a mission and a half to get here. Part of what Rad Life is about is creating a life that's sick, that's rad, that is in alignment with who you are and what you want. And so a lot of the content moving forward isn't going to be just educational, but also stuff to inspire you to, you know, follow your most authentic path and to be daring. So some of the episodes I've like lightly planned for this month will be around stories of when I was daring, and part of it is to inspire myself to be more daring again. You know, like when we were little kids, we just did shit. We weren't wondering, or at least as much, like, are we going to fail or anything like that? And I'm trying to get back into that. No, I'm trying. I'm getting back into that spirit in a really big way. So I say first things first, it's December 1st. I want you to set at least one intention for the month. Ideally, you could set an intention for your relationships, for your personal like self-development, self-care, self-love. Set an intention around your work this month. Set an intention around some kind of daring act you'd like to do. But above all, just at least choose one thing of how you want to feel or what, you know, you're trying to channel or access or tap into this month, because we're setting the stage right now. Last night was a new moon in Sagittarius, and we're setting the stage right now in these, you know, these last few weeks and these coming weeks for the coming year. And that's important, I would say, because whether or not it's a new year, but it's more exciting to me when it is, it's like, this is our life. This is our one life. I mean, that's why I'm in India. I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing here. I don't know what the plan is, but I knew I had to come. So I came. And I want to infuse a little bit of that into this podcast episode, and I want to infuse just the reminder into your mind and heart right now that it's more worth it to just go for it than to sit with regret later or wonder what if. So set an intention for the month and get ready to start thinking about the coming year as well. I think my word for 2024 is going to be consistency, which was actually my word in, I think it was 2020, but back then it was, or maybe 2019, I think it's 2020. Back then, consistency was applying to my like physical health, my physical, mental, and mental health. And now it's applying to my work, because being consistent with my podcast, being consistent with my writing, being consistent with all my daily efforts towards the business I'm building and the life I'm building and becoming the next level of me. I think all the groundwork and foundational work has been laid, and now it just requires my consistent effort. So just some things to chew on and think about. And now I'm just going to tell you about my travels to India, and a little bit of backstory. I think I'll like expand on this throughout the coming days, but I wrote a little bit last night and I was trying to post it on Instagram, and it was literally taking hours. Instagram kept quitting when I was trying to post it, and so I gave up. But yeah, it's around, again, this topic of picking a theme for your year. Around 2015 or 2016, I started picking a quote or phrase or word for my year. The one in 2016 was around magic, and I think I'm leaning back into that this year as well. But it was the Roald Dahl quote that said something along the lines of, "Look with glittering eyes at all that is around you. Those that don't believe in magic will never see it," or something like that. That's just off the dome. I could look it up. But it's just always like a really nice way shower for me. I'm just looking at the quote. "Don't look for magic, we'll never find it." But it just, it provides me a frame of reference on how to approach the year. And I did really approach, like I set that in at the end of 2016, and my 2017 was one of the most beautiful and the hardest years of my life. I was with my ex and we traveled together for 8 months and ended our like 4-year relationship at the end of that. And we went to so many countries and it was so beautiful. And it was also really hard. My mental health was really, really, really suffering, or like I was really struggling. But again and again and again and again and again, I was like, look for the magic, find the magic, tap into the magic. And that's something that I've been able to do since I was a little girl. And yeah, that was something that really helped me. Okay, the quote is this: "And above all, watch with glittering eyes the whole world around you, because the greatest secrets are always hidden in the most unlikely places. Those who don't believe in magic will never find it." I love that. So this year, I'm starting this experiment, and it's not fully fleshed out yet. I'm still journaling on it. I was working on it earlier, but someone came over and was hanging out with me, this girl that lives on the property here. And so she's really cute. And so I spent some time with her and didn't get a finish. But essentially looking at, if I lived this year as basically a year of magical thinking and really, really, really tapped into the magic of what this life can be and manifestation and universal laws and principles, like what could I really create in 1 year? And I'm just really excited to see what that looks like and to be deeply devoted to that task and idea. So what I was writing last night was about devotion. And So I just turned 31. Last year when I turned 30, I was looking not only at what the word was for my 30th year. Now that I'm thinking about it, what was my word? I feel like I didn't really, I think like my word for 2024 was structure. I picked structure and something else. Structure, oh, and inner trust. Okay, well, the structure one was hard for me, to be honest. I had a very hard year. And that's all well and good, but I think I need to come back to the structure one again. I think consistency plays into structure, actually. And inner trust, that's a good one. I mean, I definitely just leaned into that a lot this year. But yeah, when I turned 30, I was doing a couple things. One was the months going into 30. I was channeling a little bit of this energy of Jedediah Jenkins, who wrote this book called, what was his first book called? Why am I blinking? He wrote this book called, and I'm not going to edit any of these, so I'm sorry that you're kind of coming along with my slow brain today. To Shake the Sleeping Self. Okay. So he wrote this book. His debut book was called To Shake the Sleeping Self. And it was about how he, when he turned 30, he designed this big trip adventure that he was going to go on. And he biked from Oregon to the bottom of South America. I was about to say Canada, but I don't think that's right. I think he started in Oregon because his parents had done this epic, like famous walk across America and ended at this spot in Oregon. So he started the spot in Oregon. Anyways, I just liked it because, I mean, it's an incredible book. He's an incredible writer, but he created this basically project for himself, this adventure, this exploration. And it did a few things. One, it shook the sleeping self. Like it brought him back into living versus just being alive. And it was the platform that where his writing took off, because he was chronicling all of the things and places and people and thoughts and lessons and learnings. And then it eventually became this book, his debut book, To Shake the Sleeping Self. And I just really liked that idea. I was like, I want a big project to focus on. And so I outlined this project where, you know, maybe it still needs more refinement, but I've started it and it's around rad life. And rad, to remind you, stands for resilience, authenticity, and daring. So it's basically about having an authentic dream, an authentic goal, an authentic path, and then daring to just fucking go for it. And then having resilience along the way to deal with whatever comes up, because you don't just have a dream and go for it and then nothing challenging happens. Like, that's just not how life works. But then there's also the play on rad of just like something cool, something's great. And so what's the life that feels rad to me? Like, what's in the highest alignment? And so, yeah, I was like, what can I design that I would also be devoted to? Because while I was setting up this, outlining this project, I was also thinking of what's the word for my 30s? And the word for my 30s, I decided, is devotion. Like deep, 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 deep devotion, deep love, deep, deep willingness to spend time and energy and money and resources on what matters most to me. And so my word for my 30s is devotion. And then I was outlining a project on what does that look like. And I made this list essentially of all these places in the world that I want to go to that are the most quote unquote special or important or unique. And so it was a mixture of the seven places that are considered the chakras of the world. It was a mixture of UNESCO World Heritage Sites, the most beautiful and famous nature in the world, blue zones, the most sacred and spiritual sites, all kinds of stuff like this. Places that are vortexes, religious sites. And I just kind of was like, okay, I'm going to go to these places throughout my 30s and I'm going to meet incredible people and storytell and kind of just learn the knowledge and wisdom of the peoples of these places and of the lands themselves, and tap in a lot to Native and Indigenous voices, and kind of treat it as like a journalism project of sorts. And then also plan retreats where other people can kind of come on this exploration with me. So this actually all kicked off. I haven't shared really anything about it, but this all kicked off with my first trip to Peru this summer. It was pretty wild. So I made this list, which I'm trying to post on my Instagram to share this story, but like I said, Instagram keeps quitting. So maybe it'll go on my Substack. But I made this list. I spent a weekend. I think I had COVID. I was like sick. I had just gotten home from visiting the person I was dating. I think I got COVID on the plane home. I was living on the boat last year, and I spent a few days just completely by myself on the boat, sick, and planning my life. This was like fall 2023. And I made this list, and I just put it out there. You know, I want to spend this year in devotion to learning, to seeking, to sharing, to teaching, all these things. And I want to also call in deep studies and mentorship and incredible teachers. And, you know, I put on here, one of the places I want to go to is the Amazon. I want to go to Peru. I've wanted to go to the Amazon since I learned about it from National Geographic when I was like 4 years old, maybe five, like young. And then that same week, like within days, I got an email from this facilitator that I had sat in ayahuasca ceremonies with before, who was incredible. And I got an email saying that he was going to bring a group of people to the Amazon the coming summer, like within days. It might even have been the same weekend. I should look. But it happened so quickly. I put out the intention, and like the ball just started rolling. The universe was like, yeah, let's get this into motion. And so I signed up for the wait list, and then I ended up putting a deposit down officially, I think, a few months later in December. So this time last year, I was in San Diego, and I don't know, I've been going through it the last year. But I remember I was on a solo trip in San Diego. My friends let me stay at their house while they were out of town. And I was like crying every day, and I was having a really hard time. And then I was trying to decide a lot of things about my life. I had decided to move back to San Francisco for a few months and a few different things. And I just knew like I needed to go on this trip to Peru. This was like very meant to be, and I could feel it. So I put that on the deposit, and I didn't know exactly how the timing would work with a few other things that were going on and work and all the things, but I just did it. And I ended up going to Peru in June and July of this year. And part of that was 2 weeks in isolation with no electricity, no service, limited human contact, dieting a master plant called Bobinsana, and then doing plant medicine, ayahuasca ceremonies every other day, basically. It was really intense. It was really beautiful. And it was such a nice kickoff to this version of the business that I've been ideating about for a while, which was, it's like the vision I kind of have for the company is really, what are all the things that we should have been taught in school that we weren't? Like, why aren't we taught skills about mindset? Why aren't we taught actually about health and well-being? Why aren't we taught the power of our beliefs to create and change our world and our health? All of these things. And so that's really what I'm centering the business around. And then a part of it is is the same as from the beginning, which is life design and lifestyle design and consciously, like, intentionally creating your life and what you want to look like, and having a life that's rad, and then focusing on resilience, authenticity, and daring. So that's kind of what's been shaping up and shaping out, or whatever the phrase is. But going to Peru was like the kickoff of all of this. And I spent a lot of time in my hut by myself and just like going deep soberly, going deep in ceremony, so much journaling, so much meditation, doing yoga naked in my hut. Like, it was just with a headlight on. Like, it was comical, it was funny, it was hard, it was challenging, it was all these things. And I was like, this is a huge component of what I want my life to be. Like, I like the unconventional. I don't want to live the same type of life that the average person lives. Like, it's just not me. And it felt like I was really channeling this essence of what I felt like when I was younger, when I wanted to be a biologist and I wanted to travel the world and do research and learn about, you know, the natural world. And I was obsessed with ecology, and that was it for me. And I think it's still it for me, just in a, you know, different way than I imagined, but that really is still feels very true for me. So that was the beginning of it all. And then, of course, 3 months ago, I left the States and I said, I'm gone for, I don't know, 1 year, 1 to 5 years is what I keep saying. I have no idea. I don't really have like a full-on plan. I am taking my business abroad. I have the intention to connect with visionaries, creatives, entrepreneurs, like people who are building things, people who are doing things differently, people who are approaching life in different kinds of ways, and connecting with people from different cultures and just learning from others. So that's what I'm doing. And for the last 2 years, it's been this little voice in the back of my head, or coming from somewhere outside of me almost, that says, go to India, go to India, go to India, go to India, all the damn time. And I'm finally here. And it kind of shook me when I got here, because I arrived, I'm up in the Rishikesh area, so northern India below the Himalayas. And like I said, I've had this feeling, but I didn't know what was here. I didn't know what it would be like. I still don't really have like a full plan, so to speak. So I didn't know. And like, I was feeling really good going into it. And then on one of my flights, I can't remember if it was my first flight or second flight here, I started to get this like tiny bit of almost like anxiety, like questioning, like, okay, what if it's not good? Like, what if I had this vision or this feeling of what it could be or would be, and it just doesn't reach my expectation? You know, what if it goes terrible? What if, you know, all these what ifs, which is really just my mind grasping for knowing that wasn't accessible to me, because we don't know the future. And then I just told myself, it's fine. You know, whatever happens, it's fine. If it's terrible, it's fine. If it's good, it's fine. If it's in the middle, it's fine. If it's extraordinary, it's fine. It's all meant to be how it is. I don't really have that much control over it. And then what took me by surprise was I landed in Rishikesh. I found out that both my bags had gotten lost, all my stuff. I had my personal backpack and a small carry-on. Thank God, because that had my hard drive and my camera and my most important stuff in it. But everything else was MIA. And I just felt unfazed. I don't know. There was like this calm in me. I mean, I'm generally fairly calm. Like, I don't think I overreact to things much at all. And like, not a lot really throws me off balance. Didn't always used to be like that, but that's how I am now. And so I just kind of was like, okay, gave them my information, asked what they thought about, do you think my bags are coming, whatever. And then I got picked up by the taxi that this guy here had ordered for me. And I got into that taxi and I started just like taking a deep breath and grounding for a second. And this feeling came over me that, like, I don't know. I keep trying to describe it and I don't know how to describe it. But it's like, do you ever just go somewhere and you're like, oh, this feels good? Like, the air feels good. The energy feels good. I feel good. There's just certain places for me where that happens. But this almost felt like a return to somewhere I deeply loved and I knew that I loved and that, like, I felt good at, but I've never been here. And so that just kind of hit me and I started crying. I was in the backseat of his taxi, like, started crying, and I was just looking around like, what is bringing on this feeling? And the thing was, there was no like actual answer. There was no logic to it all. But I just was feeling so overwhelmed with this emotion. And it was like an emotion mainly of peace and of like return or remembrance. I don't know. It wasn't deja vu, but it was just, it's like if you have a favorite vacation spot that you've been going your whole life and then you go to it and it's like sacred feeling and special, like a cabin in the mountains or like some tucked away beach hut on the, like a beautiful coast. I don't know. I don't know how to describe it, but I just started crying and I cried like the entire drive from the airport to the place where I'm staying. And I was staying on this farm and it is so incredible. Like the pieces of it are incredible, but even more so, it's just like how I feel and what it feels like. It's like every component, it's like the air, the temperature, my internal feeling. It just, I cannot put it into words, but it's so special. And I've had, okay, one of my promises to myself, besides the fact that I'm not going to be like editing these 31 podcasts, I think I'm just going to freeform and just put it up. I'm going to also stop censoring how I share things, because there's so many times where I caveat of like, well, I believe this, but if you don't believe that, like, that's okay. And I'm just tired of doing that. I see the world a certain way. You see the world a certain way. Everyone sees the world a certain way. I don't feel like I need to keep like sideways explaining like, well, this is what I think. And like, when I say God, like, this is what I mean and blah, 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 blah. And this is kind of out there, but so I'm going to try to stop prefacing my statements with things like that. But I like to do readings with Akashic Records readers, different kinds of psychics and seers and people who have multi-sensory beyond the five senses abilities. And I also have these. Like, I'm fairly psychic, and that's a talk for another time. But I've had three or four off the top of my head, people, an Akashic Records reader, like psychic medium type person. Who are the other ones? A few. Yeah, I have them written down. A few readers, all separate. Without me like saying things, oh, an astrocartography person even, have all told me or seen past lives of me in India without me like prompting, saying anything about that. And that's honestly what it felt like. It felt like I was returning to this place that I already knew and I already loved. And I know it sounds kind of out there. And I actually went to this party the first night I was here. And I said something along these lines, not quite in this much depth, but there's a guy who's like, oh yeah, you know, so many white people have the feeling I should go to India and do yoga. And I was like, yeah, that's super fair. That is reality. But I don't think it means it's not true for people. I don't think it means that they're not actually feeling like that. And I think there's different reasons for it all. You know, some people are trying to find themselves. Some people are running away from things. I feel like I'm running towards something. But I think that's valid, because especially in this area, Rishikesh has become very touristy over the years as like basically a yoga capital of the world. There's an ashram here where the Beatles met their guru, Maharaji, and this is where they got taught transcendental meditation. It's where they all got into like deep spirituality. They wrote an album here. Like, this place is very famous. This place has really potent energy. This place does attract people who are attracted to yoga. And for the people outside of the country of India, a lot of the people are white people coming from America, coming from Canada, coming from Europe. And so his point was, yeah, true and valid. But then someone else, which I thought was really interesting, and these are, I was the only non-Indian person. One of the other guys was like, yeah, but you think, he's saying this to the guy who's like, oh, every white person wants to come and find themselves and do yoga in India. And the other guy was like, yeah, but you see it as like this constant thing of like so many people do it because you're looking at everyone who's here, who's white, who's seeking yoga. He's like, but you're not seeing all of the millions and millions and millions and millions of people who aren't feeling that way and who aren't coming here, you know? So it's kind of like you're looking at a population where 100% of the people are doing that, but really it's a population of, let's say, you know, 0.002% of the actual population of white people who aren't feeling the call to, you know, go to India and do yoga or find spirituality or find themselves. And so I thought that was really interesting because I don't want to negate my own experience of I've felt like I should come here. And the thing is, it's like I felt that with other places too. I felt that with Hawaii. When I got to Hawaii, when I was on the plane and I caught sight of the Big Island for the first time, I also started bawling on the airplane. I had no idea why. It was like this remembrance feeling. And there's certain people, when I meet them, I'm like, I know. Or even I hear about them, I know I'm supposed to meet this person. And I've had crazy manifestations of like putting something out of someone that's like a complete stranger. I have no idea anything about them. Then all of a sudden, like I'm meeting them months later or things like that. Or even with certain plant medicine, like there's certain things that I just have no interest in. And there's certain things where when I learn about it or something comes to me, then I know that it's part of my path and story. And so I'm never going to minimize or discount that, even if it is cliche. This is what I'm trying to say. So anyways, I'm here. I'm in India now. I'm feeling really good. I feel like I went through huge, 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 huge initiations in Sri Lanka. It was a mix of like great, great, great beauty and great challenge and difficulty. And I don't feel ready to share about that now, but I do feel really grateful for that time. And I think I received a lot there, a lot more than I was expecting. I wasn't really expecting anything, but it was way different than what I was expecting. And the good was so much better than what I was expecting. And the bad was honestly much worse. But I made it and we grow from these things, you know, and I have so much resiliency from all the other stuff in the past that I've gone through that even though things were hard, I just feel that I've been set up all throughout my life to deal with things. And I take them much more in stride. I have such deep-rooted faith and trust in life and what's coming and what's possible and available to and for me. So yeah, I'll be sharing a lot of different things over this month. I have stories, I have things from science, spiritual things, psychology things, plans, thoughts, musings, more stories, some interviews, just all good stuff. And yeah, I'm appreciative of you being here, and I'm excited to see what's to come from all of this because I just turned 31 and I just feel like I'm just a little baby. Like my whole life is ahead of me, you know? And I always wanted to be on a 30 under 30 list and I wasn't. I feel like I put so much pressure on myself for like these silly things in life where if I zoom out a bit, you know, I'm good at being. Like I like doing, but I'm really good at being. I just enjoy the process of life. I enjoy the journey. I enjoy the little things. I can find beauty and appreciation in so much. And so I also have things I want to accomplish and do. And so I'm really just striking that balance right now in life. And like, how can I align my achieving and my striving as far as like career and professional aims to also align with just like the things that deeply, inherently, and innately like light a fire in me that make me excited and happy and all of that. So, and that's what my work is all about. So that's cool and fun. And yeah, I think that's where I'm going to wrap this episode. I hope that everyone has their intentions and goals set for December, because the new year is going to be here before you know it. The more you prepare now, the better you can jump into creating a beautiful 2025. Let's go do some cool ass shit. That's what I'm thinking. That's what I'm thinking. I hope you're in, because 2025 is a 9 year in numerology, and I'm also having a 9 year. So I'm fairly certain and feeling that this year is going to be fantastic. This whole microphone situation, if you're watching this, is comical. This is a really good microphone, but I just like, it's not, I don't understand how I'm supposed to use it actually. So I need to figure that out. It's the chest mic. Just sits up off my chest. Okay, well, I still have to show you my outfit if you're watching this. I'm in these because my luggage did finally get here. I just got here like right before I started this podcast or this video, and got delivered, and my stuff is here. So I am in a clean shirt, which is really nice. And my deodorant and stuff arrived. Praise be. But I'm still in my dirty socks that I've been wearing for a couple days. Really gross. I will go change them now. And I'm in these pants that the owner of this farm that I'm staying at lent me. And they are like so small. They are like, you know, what do they call them when you're preparing for the flood? High waters. They're like that to the extreme. I don't know if you can see this. They're like mid thigh. Anyways, they're really warm. And it's getting a little chilly here now. So I'm in my little India farm outfit. I can't wait to show you more of this space. And there's a really wonderful greenhouse here with fresh veggies that I used to make my dinner last night. And there's trees, like fruit trees, and a pickleball court going in, and this really cool farm stay next door. And yeah, I'm excited to share. And I really am enjoying getting to know the guy whose place it is. And maybe we'll do an interview with him. That would be cool. He's a creative, he's a visionary, he's an entrepreneur. Like, he's really exactly the kind of person that I said I'd like to meet on this trip. And that's what happens, y'all, when you set intentions. The universe conspires to help you get there, get them, create them. So I'm off to finish my journaling session and do a little bit of writing and posting, because I'm in the middle. When I was in Sri Lanka, I did 40 days of devotion inspired by blue of earth, because I just felt like I had really been neglecting my personal relationship with meditation, but with like great spirit more than anything. And yeah, summer and fall were toughies. And I kind of fell out of my practice, and I did not like that. So I spent 40 days at my altar at least once, but if not, like more like closer to 2 or 3 times a day, meditating, praying, breath work, journaling, tapping, all the things. It was so beautiful. And then when it ended, I was like, okay, I want to do another 40. And I reestablished, you know, my meditation practice and like feel really connected now. But what is the next thing that could really use my devotion? And I realized it was writing and posting, like shipping my work. Shipping is like sending it, you know, putting it out there, not creating and then letting it sit in my notes or in my Google Docs or in my drafts or anything like that. So That's what I'm doing now. And for when I started it, my 40 days will end on January 1st, will be the 40th day, which I think is really fun and exciting. But you can start one at any point in time. 40 days is kind of a sacred number. You know, Jesus was out in the desert for 40 days, 40 nights. But in general, you can look at a lot of different religious, spiritual texts and things like that. 40 days is, or even just the number 40 is very 40 weeks until you know, to grow a baby. It's very special. So if you want to do 40 days of devotion for something that could use your devotion, I encourage you to do it. Or you can just join in with me. I'm on, if you want to do 30 days, that will approximately put you at January 1st ending as well. Just open invitation. Yeah, as always, if you are open to liking, following, subscribing, commenting, screenshotting, sharing, sending me a message, telling me what you think, any and all of the above. One of my biggest 2025 goals is consistency with my podcast. Bring it back at least once a week posting. I'm gonna do these 31 days and see how I feel about the cadence for 2025. But yeah, big goal. I really feel like this is a medium that I can really excel in, or I don't know, just like put a lot of my effort towards. I like more long form stuff. So it's going to be long form writing, long form video and talking for this year. So if you're open to sharing and supporting in any of the kinds of ways that I just said, that would be incredible, because it would be incredible. Okay. Lots of love. See you next time. Stay rad. Calm mind. Open heart. Strong spine. We got this. Let's go.